We're going to begin by reading Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. The title of the lesson is Developing an Attitude of Gratitude. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came about, while Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. We use the word gratitude and the word thanksgiving sometimes without a lot of thought, without really thinking about what's really going on. Thanksgiving is the act of expressing specific gratitude to God for the blessings he has provided, sometimes in general, but thank you for this and thank you for that, and I appreciate that. And were it not for this, where would I be? More specific than just generally saying thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my health. Thank you that I was able to get through this difficult situation. Sometimes these things are physical. Sometimes they're spiritual. Sometimes they're material. As we grow and mature in Christ, we should be seeing an attitude of thanksgiving developing in our lives. Becoming a child of God in Jesus Christ should transform us into joyful, positive, and grateful souls. What does it mean to be grateful? It means to appreciate what has been done for you. Sometimes we say, I appreciate that, but it means to truly appreciate what has been done for you. It means to be thankful, truly thankful. Sometimes we use these words, excuse me, or thank you, or I appreciate that, as bridges in conversation, but it means to be truly thankful for something. And here's one we don't think about a lot. It means to be obliged or to be obligated or duty-bound to the one who has helped and blessed you. Now, I don't want you to think that this means that you owe somebody that. You know, it's tit for tat, so to speak. Think about this in John 3:16. God loved us so much that he gave his only son that whoever might believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about one of our hymns that says, when I survey the wondrous cross. Part of the verse says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. And a little bit later on it says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. There's no other response that could be given than giving your life, your soul, and your all to God for what he has done for us. Love so amazing, so divine, demands. Another one of our hymns, I think it's called At the Cross. And later on in the hymn it says, but drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. It's not enough just to be sad or not enough to be thankful. What do we owe somebody for what's been done? And the song says, here, Lord, I give myself to you. That's all that I can do. It demands my life, my soul, my all. That's all I can do. It means that we are obliged or duty-bound because of the gift that was given to us. The lepers that were cleansed, they were cleansed of a disease that had no cure at that time. Think about that. It was a slow death. The body slowly rotting away. Sometimes they were alone and they were isolated. There's an island in Hawaii where, in the Hawaiian island chain, where lepers were taken to live. If a leper came down the side of the road, they would have to yell out, unclean, unclean, so everybody could get out of their way. Or they would have to cross to the other side of the street. They were cleansed of a disease that had no cure. And without Jesus' gift, they would have remained infected. Jesus cleansed us of a disease. He cleansed us of sin. Until he died on the cross, sin had no cure. Until he gave his life for us. Without Jesus' sacrifice, we would still be in sin. Without the hope of salvation, without the hope of resurrection, without the hope of going home to live in heaven forever with God. We would be slowly dying spiritually, our souls rotting away, so to speak. So are we like that one leper, a cured leper? Are we grateful? Are we thankful to God? Or could we sometimes be like the nine, taking God's gifts, the blessings in this life and the blessings that allow us to have life to come? Would we take those things for granted? Someone once said that one sign that Jesus lives in your heart is gratitude. And someone else said that God lives in two places. He lives in heaven and he lives in a humble, grateful heart. You know, as Christians, we should make a concerted effort, a very determined, intentional, concerted effort each and every day, not just every now and then, to appreciate all the blessings that God has given us. Our lives should be filled day to day with a spirit of thanksgiving. Psalm 92, 1 and 2 reads, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music in your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Day and night, the passage says, praising and thanking God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 2, 6, that our lives are to abound in thanksgiving. We are to be a fountain of thanksgiving. And in Philippians 4, 6, we are to do everything with prayer and thanksgiving. What does that leave out? In Psalm 116, 17, we read that we are to make our lives a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. Our lives should be an offering, a sacrifice that shows our thanksgiving. Hebrews 13, 14 through 15 tells us, "Since we are seeking the city which is to come," we are seeking that heavenly home, "since we are seeking the city which is to come through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks in his name." Our lives are to be filled with a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude towards God. For all he has done, for all he continues to do, for the promises that he will deliver on in that final day. But the sad truth is that many of us, maybe probably most of us, sometimes aren't very grateful people. And when it comes to having a spirit of thanksgiving, we too often fall short. Do you? I sure do. I know that. We seem to be much better at grumbling and complaining than we are at giving thanks. Despite all of the many blessings we have, sometimes we're not very thankful people. What about the mother who was walking with her little daughter along the seashore when a giant wave came in and snatched the little girl away? Her mother prayed and prayed for her daughter to return. And suddenly another big wave deposited the little girl back on the beach alive. And the mother looked up to the heavens and said, she was wearing two sandals when the wave took her. Only has one now. Or what about the young boy who was asked to say the prayer at Thanksgiving dinner? And after thanking God for the food and his family, he ran out of things to say, and then he prayed, "Now, Lord, let me tell you some of the things I'm not thankful for." While many of us run out of things to say when it comes to our blessings, not many of us run out of things to complain about. A lot of people separate their lives into two categories. These are the things I'm thankful for. These are the things I'm not thankful for. But God says that we are to combine everything into one category and to give thanks for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without grumbling and complaining." Paul says in Philippians 3:8, "I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I've given up my old life and now I live in Christ. And in Philippians 4:11, he said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. You know, we're too often like the 9 lepers in Luke 17. 10 lepers stood at a distance. They kept their distance as required by the custom, maybe law, and they cried out to Jesus. These disease-ridden lepers cried out, Master Jesus, have pity on us. And Jesus heard the lepers and said to them promptly, go show yourself to the priest. Did they know what was going to happen? But they had enough faith to call on the name of the Lord to start with, and they had enough faith to do what he said to do. And as the lepers went on the way, they were cleansed. They came to be healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back and he praised God with a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Jesus said to this one leper who returned, hey, weren't there 10 of you? Where's the other 9? Is there no one except this one foreigner coming back to thank me? 9 were Jewish. 1 was a Samaritan. Samaritans were despised by the Jews. Remember that it was a Samaritan, not the Jews, not the Levite and the priest. It was a Samaritan who helped the wounded traveler on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. Do you wonder if the Jews put too much pride and entitlement in being God's chosen people, that it hindered them? Do you suppose that we as Christians could consider ourselves chosen and entitled to the point where we take God's blessings for granted? Jesus' emotional response to the ingratitude of the 9 lepers kind of gives us a glimpse into the heart of God. God is saddened by our rejection. He is sorrowed by the way we turn against him and our thanklessness. The scriptures tell us that we can even grieve the Holy Spirit. Jesus was disappointed that only 1 person out of 10 cared enough to express their gratitude. And that graphically shows the extent of ingratitude in the world today. The lepers came to Jesus with a desperate longing. He cured them, and 9 never came back to say thank you. You know, too often, when a person gets what he or she wants, they never say thanks, they never come back. We work so hard to get what we want, and then when we get it, we move on to the next thing. Stopping in our tracks in the midst of all the demands of this life and counting our blessings takes intention and it takes discipline. It's sobering to think that you or I might be like that. Do we take God's blessings for granted? We say no, but do we live like that's true? Do we receive great blessings yet don't thank God enough for them? I always say, do we receive God's blessings and fail to show our gratitude for what he has done? Psalms 103:2 reads, blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his blessings. We jump right into that verse. Oh, blessed be the Lord, O my soul. Hear how great that is? But the rest of it says, and not forget all his blessings. Too many instances we forget the blessings of God and never return to say thanks. But why is that? Why do you think? Let's put up a few reasons why this might be true, why people are so inclined to forget God and live as ungrateful people. Let's look at some of the reasons. We can be ungrateful because of affluence. Many of you know who Charles Barkley is, a retired NBA star. And his mother was upset with him one day because he had said he voted for George W. Bush. And she said, Charles, Bush is the rich people's president. He says, Mom, hate to tell you, we are the rich people. We don't realize how rich we are sometimes. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul addresses people who are rich in this present world. He said that riches leads us into all kinds of traps and snares. And he said that godliness with contentment is great gain. Not riches, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Each of us compared to much of the rest of the world are rich beyond our wildest dreams. One of our members from years ago, Doug Miller, and his wife traveled around the world. And I've told you this before. When he came back, he said, I'm never going to complain the rest of my life about anything I have or I don't have after seeing how some people in the world live. We travel by plane, drive nice cars, we live in heated air-conditioned homes, we have TVs, computers, we eat in nice restaurants, even if it's just grabbing a hamburger, like our family calls it, an emerger burger on the way home from services. Even if just that. And we worship in comfortable buildings. On Thanksgiving, for example, we eat meals that most people in parts of the world could only dream of having. I remember watching a TV show one time and someone says, what does Thanksgiving mean to you? And he says, eating myself into a coma. There are people who have no idea what that would mean. Larry's daughter and son-in-law were fostering some children. And there was this a very little girl, still in diapers, and an older brother that had come into their home and they weren't well taken care of. And they were feeding them, and the baby had some dry cereal like Cheerios or Fruit Loops or whatever it was on the tray. And she went like that and scattered them, and that boy dove for the floor and was stuffing it in his mouth as fast as he could. And Barb says, honey, I have more. That's how hungry he was. We each live, even the poorest people in this country often, live in incredible ease and luxury compared to most of the world, even though we may not think so. And you would think, with all of these blessings, that we would be so grateful. We would be the most grateful people on the face of the earth. But often all this affluence, all it does is just make us more and more discontented and ungrateful. The byproduct of having much is a desire for more. And sometimes we come to think we're entitled to it. Hey, I was born into this country, this is mine, I'm going to get all I can get. It's hard to be grateful when we can't learn to be happy with what we already have. Here's another story. Two friends who met on the street, one of them looked sad on the verge of tears, and his friend asked, what has the world done to you, my friend? And the sad fellow said, 3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $40,000. Well, that's a lot of money. Yeah, but 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear. Hey, it sounds like you've been blessed. You don't understand, he interrupted. Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited almost $250,000. No, I'm really confused. Then why do you look so sad? And his friend said, this week, nothing. Is that the way we are? Is that the way we are? In one sense or another, is this the way we live before a gracious and loving God who gave his own son for us? What have you done for us lately, God? Oh yeah, I know you sacrificed your only son and bought us out of slavery and redeemed us and gave us a cure for sin that was never existed in the world before. But I don't know. This week seems to be going kind of tough for me. We're ungrateful because of pride. We're prideful because sometimes we think we earned all the things we've received. We say to ourselves, I worked hard for this job. I raised my kids to be good people. I studied for those grades. I earned that reward. One bumper sticker even reads, I couldn't have done it without me. In our pride, we don't even think to thank God. We give ourselves a pat on the back and forget that it is God who has blessed us. Psalms 10:4 reads, in his pride, the wicked does not seek God. Why? In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. In our pride, we have forgotten that it is God who gives good gifts from above. We are ungrateful people because we often hang around with the wrong kind of people. Some of us live among such ungrateful, negative people, and sometimes that's us, that we turn grumpy and sour ourselves. Or we could be the ones turning someone else grumpy and sour. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived because bad company corrupts good character. The time we spend with negative, ungrateful people will influence us, whether we want to or not. Ingratitude and grumbling can be just as addictive as drugs. Some people pick up the habit of complaining. It becomes their nature and they can't stop it. Because their whole life revolves around that. That's how they see themselves as victims. Some do it so regularly they don't even recognize it as a problem. How about people who come to worship services and complain? I hope they don't sing that hymn I don't like. Hey, it's too cold in here. It's too hot in here. Hey, someone's sitting in my seat. Oh, look how long the preacher's going again. We're never going to get into a restaurant. Hey, it's noon. How come we're not done yet? People can say all that and don't even recognize they're complaining. It's a bad habit. Even worse than that, it's a sin. Philippians 4:8 says, meditate on all the things that are pure and true and noble and just and praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. We're ungrateful because of circumstances. It's hard to rejoice and be thankful when the bills are piling up and the company's considering layoffs and virus is knocking on the door of our country. Sometimes these hard circumstances are the reason behind our ingratitude. Remember when Moses led the Israelites into the desert and they became entrapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army? And what'd they do? They complained. Exodus 14:10-11 says, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. Hey, a lot of them. Hundreds, thousands even. They said to Moses, was it because there were not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? How about that being for sarcastic? There weren't enough graves in Egypt, you have to bring us out here and bury us in the sand? The Israelites' first reaction to their tough circumstances was to grumble. It's like us saying to God, thank you for bringing us out of sin with your son. Didn't we have enough problems that you had to give us more problems of trying to live like holy and divine people in a corrupt world? Wasn't it bad enough you had to make it harder on us? Is that how we act towards God? It's difficult to be thankful when we're trapped between a situation in life and another situation in life that's really tough. Or when we feel responsible for too many things to ever get done. Oh, if I didn't have all this work to do and if people didn't depend on me. And I hope we don't get too bothered by the effort that it takes to live a Christian life. And although Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, I hope we don't get bothered by that light burden trying to live a godly life and we forget that God delivered us from slavery by giving up his only son. And we must never forget that all things are possible with God. And we must never forget that God is always with us and he'll never forsake us. You know, it's hard to predict why we might be ungrateful. Pride, affluence, habits, circumstances. But we can learn to be more thankful. We can learn to develop a spirit of thanksgiving. And here's a few things we can do. The first thing we can do is to remember how much gratitude pleases God. Do we want to please our Father in heaven? We do, don't we? Gratitude makes God happy. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14 says, this is talking about the children of Israel in Jerusalem when Solomon had finished the temple. Remember how David wasn't allowed to build the temple, but God said he could prepare the materials and his son Solomon would build the temple. So this is when the temple was completed. They raised their voices, and this is 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. They raised their voices in praise to the Lord and saying, he is good. His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. The glory of the Lord would not have filled the temple had it not been built according to God's commandments and if their hearts had not been in the right place. God's presence filled the temple in response to the thanksgiving that was coming from his people and in response to their obedience. God was pleased with their faithfulness to hear the praise, and so he drew near and he filled the temple. Obedience, not grudging obedience, but obedience and thankfulness and gratitude are main keys of showing God's presence in our life. Here's mine, I guess. Avoid complaining at all costs. Complaining and grumbling are the biggest barriers to gratitude. We need to learn to catch ourselves when we begin to complain. We need to stop. Right now, right away. Numbers 11:1 says the Israelites complained about their hardships, and when God heard it, his anger was aroused. We need to avoid complaining because God hates it, and it ruins our spiritual lives. Psalm 77:3 says, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Not with good things, with bad things. One of the most important steps in developing inner peace is to stop complaining and start praising. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining and arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you will shine like stars in the night. When you praise God, you stand out from the world as one of God's children. Another step you can take is make it a personal choice to rejoice. It might be difficult to be thankful at certain times, but we need to make a personal decision that we are going to be grateful, thankful people, even when we don't feel like it, even when it's hard. The Apostle Paul wrote these words from prison, mind you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How many times did he say rejoice there? He said it twice, right? He made a personal choice to be grateful despite his circumstances. He decided that even though he was in prison, it didn't matter. He was going to praise and thank God just the same. It transformed his perspective. It transformed people who were around him. Do you remember the result when he and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi and they sang hymns and prayed and the prison doors were cast open, the jailer obeyed and his family obeyed the gospel? A positive, joyful attitude has tremendous power. Just like happiness is a choice, so is gratitude. We can be too conditioned to wait for the right circumstances to be happy. If this happens, I'm going to be happy. If that happens, I'm going to be joyful. If that happens, I'm going to quit worrying. That kind of happiness is fleeting. There's always going to be something else around the corner. Gratitude can be rare and fleeting as well. If we wait around until we feel like being grateful, we may never feel like it. It's a choice. It's a habit of choice. We must and we can make a conscious decision that we are going to be grateful despite the circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And a fourth thing we can do, the last one we'll look at this morning, is develop the discipline of giving thanks. In order to be thankful people, we have to start giving thanks every day, maybe every hour. We need to discipline ourselves to find something each day that we should be thankful for to God. We need to replace the habit of complaining with a habit of thankful praising, gratitude. I can tell you an experience I had one time. It's been a long time ago, but it really stuck with me. Connie and I were doing a workshop with a company one time that didn't seem to be very happy about their situation. And there were about 100 of them. And so we had them arrange their chairs kind of like in a big circle. It was a big auditorium and said, okay, we're just going to start and we're going to go around the circle and all you can say is something you're thankful for in your company. And they went around three times, about 200 or 300 different things. And you could almost hear the auditorium vibrate, the energy in there, the gratefulness and the thankfulness and the realization that they had more things to be thankful for than they ever thought was just, it surprised them, knocked their socks off, you know. And it changed the way they started treating themselves and their company. If we were to do that this morning, just take the time, every one of us say 2 or 3 things that you're thankful for, it would be very powerful. Think about that. Think how the discipline of giving thanks can transform you. In Daniel 6, we read that Daniel got down on his knees 3 times every day and prayed and gave thanks to his God. How many of us do that? We think we're doing good if we give thanks once a week or thanks once a day. So let's bring our lesson to a close this morning and challenge ourselves. Let's challenge ourselves to begin a regular routine of finding something every day to give thanks for. How many times in your life have you found out, no matter how small the blessing is, that a small blessing turned out to be one of the greatest blessings you could ever imagine? Learn to search out the positive no matter how small the blessing is, and give thanks for what we have. Our congregation has been blessed in so many ways. We have people now who are ill, some more seriously than others. But think about all the good things the Lord has given us as a congregation and us as individual members and for the work of the Lord here. Think how many good things have happened in the last year. We should be so thankful for that. A favorite hymn says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you. That's true. It will surprise you what the Lord has done, because He's done more than you can even remember. So let's try it. Let's make a conscious choice to be grateful, to be thankful, no matter the circumstances, no matter how we feel, to family, to friends, to co-workers, to strangers, and most importantly to God. Seriously try it for a week, for a month. Someone once said it takes 21 days to develop a habit. So we can't just simply say, I'm going to stop being ungrateful. We have to replace the ungrateful habit with a grateful habit. So try it for 21 days. Replace any time you feel ungrateful or unthankful, immediately replace it with the opposite. And see where you stand 21 days from now. Change your habit. God promises that we'll feel good, not pridefully good, but sincerely and honestly good, will be pleasing to Him, and will be marching strong on that road to eternal salvation when Jesus comes again. Jeff is going to lead us in a song of invitation. There may be some here this morning who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ and begun that journey, that race to heaven. Everyone here should be grateful that Jesus died for the sins of the world. Whether you need to obey the gospel or you have already, we should all be grateful that God has made it possible for us to be cleansed of a disease that had no cure before Jesus died on the cross. If you haven't accessed that cure in the waters of baptism, or if you have accessed it and fallen away and become ungrateful in the way that you're living, we invite you to come forward and let us help you get back on the track. So if we can help you this morning to become a Christian or to return home, please let us know while we stand and sing together.